Well, good morning. Thank you, worship team.
Two more.
Hang on a sec. So how's everyone doing? They're fresh. It's only 27 days ago that many of us stayed up past midnight. We watched a mirror ball descend. And then we made some New Year's resolutions. Resolutions about how we were going to make changes in our lives. Some of those resolutions, they may still be intact. And if you're one of those people that have done that, all I can say is good for you. Keep it up. However, statistical studies show that on a whole, we stink at keeping our resolutions. We start the year off with great intentions, but eventually, most of us will fall right back to our old ways. I can resist everything but temptation. This quote is attributed to Oscar Wilde, the famous Irish writer. And I think it's fair to say that we all struggle with habits, maybe even addictions, that get the better of us over and over. Can I share something with you? I got to tell you, not a lot of people know this about me, and it's a little scary to be up here and kind of sharing this with you. It might take me, let me muster up some courage here. Okay, here goes. Remember, a lot of people don't know this. I mean, my close friends and my family, they clearly know about this, but most people don't have an idea. Here it is. I really like chocolate. I know. My specialist, he said no chocolate. He said it's bad, and I'll pay for it later on. But right now, they are so good. So why is it that even when we know something is wrong or bad, that we experience that tug of war? Should I do it or not? And today we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul has to say about this very thing. And hopefully we can learn a few points from Paul's experiences. Before we begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the amazing worship we have had so far. Lord, I thank you for my friends who have come out on this wintry day. And Lord, I just pray that we hear your message. Lord, speak through me. Use me. May your words resound in everyone's hearts and ears. Father, forgive me my sins. Cleanse me. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Apostle Paul faced temptations, just like we do. And like most of us, I'd venture to say that he probably felt some disappointment in himself when his good intentions gave way to temptation. We're going to be reading from Romans 7, verses 14 through 25. It's a fun verse, so here we go. I know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out, for I do not do the good I want to do. But the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin in me that does it. So I find this law at work, Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. I think Paul perfectly captured the tug of war between spirit and flesh that each one of us experience in our lives. And by that I mean, here we go. Have you ever failed at keeping New Year's resolution? Given in to temptation or done something that you knew was wrong or harmful and just not right in God's eyes? I'm guessing that if I took a poll, that would be a resounding yes. And I'm sure that you've probably uttered words similar to those of Paul's at yourself whenever you do something you didn't want to do. Now, Paul isn't giving us an excuse to do wrong or to sin in this passage, but he's explaining why this tug of war exists. He starts by saying the law is spiritual. It comes from God. It is holy. On the other hand, we're humans. We're not spiritual, we are flesh. We are not holy, we are given to sin. We know and want to follow God's commands, but we keep doing the opposite. God's law is good. We know that. And we know that we should follow that. We know when we do that we receive great benefits. Is there anyone here today who was once a child or at some point either raised or taken care of a child? If you have, then you can probably relate to this. Don't touch that, it'll break. Get away from the stove, it's hot. Leave the cat or the dog alone, it's tired. You can send a barrage out to a child. Get away, get away, get away. Don't touch, don't touch, don't touch. No, no, no. And as soon as you turn your back, something gets broken. Or you hear the dog growling or the cat hissing. And when you look back, you see this innocent little child looking all shocked. You know. You just know that as soon as you ask, you're going to hear these three magical words why they did it. I don't know. They knew it was wrong. You told them it was wrong. They knew it was bad. You'd warned them that it was bad. They knew they weren't supposed to touch it. Yet they gave in to temptation. The little hands overpowered their mind. And boom, you got carnage in the living room. These M&Ms that Tim and I have been snacking on, they were one of my Christmas presents. They were ballast, or they were to make noise. Anyway, since then, they've been sitting right beside my chair. Right there. Within reach. Tempting me every day. And it wasn't a day that went by that I didn't think about opening that bag and having some. But I resisted. Okay, I resisted till today. I resisted. Today, I gave in to the flesh. My desire overcame the spirit. Why do we do what we don't want to do? Well, one reason, it's our nature. Let's look at the first tug of war that was ever recorded. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You certainly will not die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took it and ate. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. It's in our nature. Another reason why we experience this tug of war all the time? One word, Satan. Because we listen to him. We listen to his lies. And he'll tell us whatever we want to hear. It won't hurt anybody. Does it really matter? Come on, it'll be different this time. It's not really a sin. You can do it. He knows our weaknesses, and he will use them against us. We know what we should do, but we buy into his lies. See, Paul tells us the law is spiritual, and the law shows us what is good and evil. The first, right before the one we read, Romans 7:13 says, did that which is good, the law, then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. Even though the law shows us the difference between right and wrong, the law has no power to make us do right. Question. 401 or any of the 400 hot series highways, what's the speed limit? 100. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands today, but does anyone honestly do the speed limit, or do we all push the limits? I'm not asking. We knowingly break the law, and then we try and justify our doing it. I didn't know I was going that fast. I was only keeping up with the flow of traffic. If I did 100, I'd be run right off the road. The speed limit's 100. The signs are there to make it known to drivers that going faster is wrong, a sin. Does that make sense? The law is there to show us what is right. So by default, it shows us what is wrong. But the law, like in the case of the speed limit, has no power to make us obey it and do it. And why do we do what we don't want to do? Verses 17 through 20 help to explain this. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do. But the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. If we stay with the speeding example for just a minute more, and for the record, for video and audio, it's never been me. It's never been me getting caught. If I did 100, I'd get run right off the road. Anyway, you're driving along when suddenly you see the flashing lights behind you. You've been caught. Now, who's responsible? Obviously, the person behind the wheel with their foot on the gas, right? And Paul is not saying or exonerating us from that. He's accepting his actions, that they were wrong. But he is making a case for all Christians. He said, "It is me, but it's not the new me. It's the old me. It's the sinful me." I should have had a slide that said, "It's the despicable me. The me before I knew Jesus." See, I feel confident that when we say we have a relationship with Jesus and that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us, I also say and feel confident saying that everyone in here is a human being. So we all have a sinful nature. The new us is being sanctified, set apart, thanks to Jesus and the Holy Spirit that's working within us. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this, that he who began good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." We're a work in progress. Paul recognizes that. And he's saying it isn't the new me, the saved me, the me who belongs to Jesus that's doing wrong. It's my old sinful nature. Again, it's not an excuse to do it. It's an explanation why it's happening. And I can say one more thing about that. Because when it happens, and it will happen, please don't fall into the trap of saying, "I messed up. I'm no good. I'm a failure. I'm a sinner." Because the more we tell ourselves this, the more we associate our identity as that of being a sinner. We were sinners, but God demonstrated his own love for us in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our old identity is a sinner. Now, we are co-heirs with Christ. We are children of God. We will still sin. That's what Paul's telling us. "I know I sin, but I cannot understand, or I can understand now that it is my sinful nature. It isn't all of me, it's my sinful nature." Unfortunately, the old me doesn't just disappear when we accept Jesus. It'd be nice, but it doesn't happen, which is why we're embroiled in this tug of war. And Paul says, that's why I can't carry it out. He isn't saying it's impossible to resist temptation, but we do need help to do it. If it were impossible, that would mean that the Holy Spirit cannot bring about change in any of us. Mark Twain once said, "It is easier to stay out than to get out." And when we entertain temptation, when we focus on our desires, God becomes a distant thought. And Satan takes that opportunity to tell us whatever we need or want to hear to justify taking that first bite. And when we begin to entertain temptation, my friends, we're entering into some dangerous territory. If you come into my house, normally you won't find a lot of chocolate. And it's not because I eat it. We don't have chocolate. Halloween, however, is a different story. And I can resist that big bucket full of goodies for a couple days. A week, maybe 2 weeks, I don't know. I can walk right by it and pretend it doesn't exist. Because I know I should. And I know that they're definitely not good for me. Fortunately, eventually, my hand is going to go in. Just one. Just one. But that's the problem, isn't it? You never stop at just one. Now, here's some good news. Sin does not have to follow temptation. It's a possibility. It's definitely present. And more so, the more we entertain temptation. And remember, we cannot overcome it on our own. In verse 21 through 23, Paul describes the new spirit, old flesh battle that goes on. He said, "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against me, the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me." I know we're all law-abiding citizens, except if we're on the highway. And I'm sure no one has ever woken up and said, "You know what, today, I'm just not going to obey any of the laws." It's because we want to do the right thing. But when temptation pops up, our old self begins to act up, and then the battle begins. The same holds true in our spiritual disciplines as well. Do you stay home and watch the big game, or do you go to Bible study? Do you Snapchat with a friend, or do you do your prayers? It's a constant tug of war between flesh and spirit. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." Now, anyone who has ever participated in a real tug-of-war competition knows that the longer that competition goes on, the harder it is not to just give up. I mean, you're locked in there, you're pulling, and it seems like there's no progress being made. Now, in the middle of that, wouldn't it be nice if you could just suddenly change out some of the players on your team, get a new anchor, someone who's stronger? As we battle, we need to remember, we don't have to do that. We already have a person on our team that has won every battle we'll face. We have Jesus. He's on our side. Now, as we near the end of the message, Paul describes, I think, how most of us would feel when we do what we don't want to do, even though we know what we should do. He said, "What a wretched man am I? Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." We can see Paul's not happy that he's messed up, that he does what he doesn't want to do. But you can also see that he's still acknowledging the two different natures. His inner being, who wants to do God's will, who delights in God's law, and the sinful nature that just too often wins out. The only hope we ever have in winning is with Jesus. And he's waiting. Jesus wants to rescue us from the darkness. Even when we mess up and we give in, how amazing is that? That we have a Savior who will not reject us because we sin. There will be consequences, just like meeting these. But how great is it to know that he's waiting there to forgive us and to just give us his love? Now, I know that was kind of a whirlwind tour of those verses. We've covered a lot, so I just want to kind of recap three main things. The first, embrace Jesus. He alone has the power. He has already defeated our enemies. He's won the battles. We must make a couple of choices, and the first one is to resist. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." When temptation enters, and it will. Turn away. Pray. Read the Bible. Seek out a friend. But resist the temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure." The third choice we have, my friends, is to take that way out when He provides it for us. Get away from the temptations. Quit entertaining them. Tug of war is inevitable. And I hope this passage reminds each one of us about the reality of that struggle. The struggle between flesh and spirit. Between our old selves and our new selves. The works in progress. Our old flesh will not let go easily. But our minds know that God is good and faithful. Our heart knows God's love and forgiveness. We are children of God. We are winners already. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your words today. I thank You that even while we were sinners, You sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. Father, I pray for my friends that as the battles rear up in their lives, that they cling to You. Hold on fast to Jesus. He is the rock. He is our anchor of hope, Lord. Father, I pray that You provide friends and companions who we can share with to help us battle these evil thoughts. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.